Pick a card, any card, Crispy.
That one in the middle there.
That one in the middle?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going for the 7th Doctor, Sylvester McCoy?
No, I was after the 14th Doctor, David Tennant, because that's who we're talking about today.
Yeah, I don't have that one. It cost £40 and I wasn't paying it.
So everyone should subscribe to the Patreon so Troy can buy another piece of cardboard.
Yeah, that's where the budget's going. I've got the 10th Doctor. How's that?
Oh, that'll do. That'll do. It's the same thing, right?
Yeah, it's the same thing, man. It's the same thing. No, I bought the Doctors. Just the Doctors as magic cards because
nice.
I bought so many of the Baldur's Gate ones. I was like, I can't not get any Doctor Who ones. But
that's fair enough.
As far as the collection is going, hold me accountable to it. I'm not buying any more Doctor Who
I
ones.
I will. Let me write that down,
good.
Okay?
Good. If 14 and 15 come out and they're cheaper, I'll buy them. But that's it.
Fine.
Seriously, like it was like £40 for 5 cards. Ridiculous. But you know what? It's better than £40 for 5 cards. Listen to a podcast for free. I think it's time you got into it. So roll the intro.
And welcome back to Who's There, a Doctor Who podcast. My name is Crispy, his name is Troy, and we're the hotline that accepts your calls from anywhere in time and space. And today, Troy will be telling us why the 14th Doctor is the best Doctor. I don't agree with this point. He agrees with this point. Troy, how are you today?
Hang on. Can we set the record straight here? I said my favourite, I did not say the best.
What? Excuse me?
The title is a lie, although he is the best. No. I don't know. That's what we're here to find out today. We're here to investigate and listen to our audience's opinions on what they think about the 14th Doctor. I think he's really hit a soft spot for me, just the way that, you know, everyone loves David Tennant, or most people do, but I feel like, as we'll get into, the 14th Doctor feels like a better version of 10 in a lot of ways.
Ooh.
And I'm intrigued to see how the audience feels about that, and whether they think that makes 14 the best Doctor by deduction, by process of elimination. I don't know. Depends
on
what our audience thinks is the best Doctor, though.
In mathematics, and you'll know this, Troy, you're quite good with mathematics.
Would I? Oh, do tell.
You would find that 14 is, in fact, greater than 10.
That is very true.
Wouldn't you? Mm. So, like, by a mathematical system, I think we've already answered the episode. So if everyone wants to stop listening, we've already answered it.
That is true. So there you go, everyone. Each Doctor is immediately better than all that came before, based on maths principles. So,
no.
Yeah.
William Hartnell is the best.
No, you've officially said that William Hartnell is the worst Doctor. So
that's
on record.
That's
on record,
he's
everyone.
He's twisting my words.
Let's take
he's
our first caller
words.
And see what they've got to say about the 14th Doctor.
Oh, fine. Who would you like first? Troy, my boy.
Who's there? Who is there, Crispy?
Who's there this week? We have...
Who's there this week?
We've
There's
got,
a lot of people.
We got Chris from the block.
Chris from the block. Oh, that sounds good to me. Let's have Chris from the block.
Hello, Chris. What do you have to say about David Tennant?
G'day, boys. Chris, who's back again. I think it was nice of the 14th Doctor to pretend to care about Donna Noble for a few minutes before he started going, oh, this is a sonic screwdriver. You know, not exactly in character with his previous statements about not letting her remember, but he was distinct enough from the 10th Doctor. And I'm okay with them bringing back the jadedness of the specials from 2009 because they wrapped it up nicely.
Ooh.
Wow.
Ooh.
Wow.
Troy.
So we're starting with criticism. You're not allowed to criticize David Tennant in this household. Thank you very much. Good night.
Interesting. Well, that's a point that I brought up in my 60th review because I just think that's so out of place. That
I think
scene
we both said
where...
it in the Star Beast review as well.
Yeah.
Like for all jokes aside, I fully agree. That is a stupid line in the Star Beast and should never have made the cut.
It's weird. It's just, I don't know what the motivation... It doesn't really add much to the scene. It's kind of just explaining to the audience what a sonic screwdriver is if this is their first episode of Doctor Who, I guess. But in that episode, the sonic screwdriver is also like this massive
there's a neat little force field. Reference.
Weird.
Sorry,
yes,
you're lagging a bit, so I thought.
Oh no, you're all good. You're all good. But yeah, I don't know.
Sorry,
I was
trying to preempt when you finished speaking because of the lag. Oh, we're doing it again now. Oh no.
It's not good. It's classic Who's There days, unfortunately. I'm on my laptop today, which is what some of you guys might have noticed, because my big computer is just deciding not to turn on. So this is like your classic Who's There mayhem, battling an internet connection type deal. So, yeah.
Yeah, listen, man, both our computers are having problems. Mine isn't as bad, but mine now, every time I turn it on, it doesn't have the correct time. I have to sync the time up, which is worrying me. I've only had this PC for like a year and a half, so I hope that's not a sign of things to come. I'm a little worried, but hopefully it's nothing big. I have a friend who like helped me build a PC, and it was like, it could mean a piece of kit needs replacing, but also the PC will be fine. I was like, okay, cool. So.
Okay. Well, that's I wish I had a friend that could come and look at this computer, because it's
I mean, you can look up plane
really
tickets.
Rude. I literally can't today. I cannot look up.
Oh, you can't.
Today.
Yeah.
No.
Oh dear. Oh dear.
Sorry. But yeah.
I think what I'll have to do is, Crispy, I'll have to just like wait till you finish. You might have to edit out some dead air there, buddy. You might have to do some dead air editing.
That's
or leave
so
it in for suspense.
Fine. Yeah.
Leave it in for suspense. Then everyone's like, "What's Troy gonna say to Crispy saying James Corden's the best companion?" And then you have to wait 20 seconds for me to go correct. No, I would never say correct to that. But yeah. So. That's some editing for you. Oh, well. But no, I agree. I agree with Mr. Blockman. There's the Ninth Doctor reference as well. That's what I was going to say was, yeah, like the Rose, I'm trying to resonate concrete. But like 95% of people won't have even got that reference. People aren't weird. Like, I remember every tiny Doctor Who quote people like I am. I'm weird about that. I know I am. So, like, you could easily have lost that joke and no one would have cared. No one would have been like, do you know what? We could have done with a Ninth Doctor reference here. Much as I love Chris Eccleston. That's nothing against him, don't get me wrong. But yeah, it's just, he's trying very hard and it feels like he's there because he has to deal with a problem, and like anything he says or does is either him going, oh, maybe I shouldn't have said that, or I'm just being me. But that one feels very much like, I'm going to stare at the person who shouldn't know about me and tell her about a piece of kit that might bring her memory back and might make her brain explode, but it doesn't matter because it's necessary for the plot, even though it's not. So I do fully agree. So yeah. Just to say, no Doctor is perfect. Okay, there you go. I mean, Peter Capaldi was in the Forest of the Night, so that means the 12 isn't perfect. So, you know, everyone has their weaknesses. Sometimes it's stories, sometimes it's lines, sometimes it's anything in between.
Well put, Troy. That's really well done.
Thank you. I switched my speech switch on in my brain. So, let me ask you a question about this brave new world of yours. When you've killed a lot... Okay, I'm not going to do that. Oh, I've knocked over a figure on my desk. The chaos has begun, Crispy.
This is chaos. This is absolute chaos. Troy, would you like to hear from Sam?
Sam the man? It doesn't. That doesn't rhyme. Play the message.
All right. Hello, Sam. Hello.
Hi, this is Sam from Illinois, and I'm of two minds about Tennant's 14. My mind has bigenerated, if you will. Obviously, 10 and 8 are iconic, and I think that 14 is sufficiently distinct from 10. On the other hand, we're going to have two Tennants on every bit of merch featuring all the Doctors, and that's just kind of weird. In some ways, I think the specials could have been done just as well with 13 and Yaz. Get more of the Khan family and Star Beast. 13 retires with Yaz at the end of the giggle, and the Wild Blue Yonder would have been absolutely insane. Yaz's desire to understand the Doctor, 13's need to repress, and the terror of the Not Them would have been incredible.
Ooh, wow.
Big 13's done there, wow.
Oh, it's actually unreal, the thought of 13 and Yaz being the Doctor and companion for the 60th specials. Mm. That's opened up a whole different can of worms that I'm very, very intrigued in, actually. Because you're right, you could have actually developed the Khan family in the Star Beast. Wild Blue Yonder almost feels like it fits in with 13's era because they mentioned the Flux, because they mentioned the Timeless Child. It could have been a really nice finale and somewhat satisfying for them. And then, you know, 13 and Yaz did have a soft spot for each other. So maybe the idea of them retiring together could have been beautiful. I've never thought of it like that. I've never thought of it that way. That is... It could have been a completely different 60th anniversary. It probably would have been more of a satisfying conclusion to 13 rather than a celebration of the 60th. But then some people say that the 60th was more of a celebration of Russell T. Davis and David Tennant than the 60 years of Doctor Who. So, you know, take what you will from that. Take what you will from that.
I'm just going to let this man do the podcast on his own from now on, because everything I was going to say, he's just said for me. Like, you just took the words out of my mouth.
Sorry, mate.
That was perfectly summed. That was so
well done. We've been doing this for a while.
I was actually about to say, yeah, you know, there's the argument, like, to not be the cynic, you would not have anyone saying, 13 yards, that's a great pairing for the 60th anniversary, but as you say, like some people argue Tennant and Tate was not good enough. I think it comes down to, at least from where I'm concerned, it was more of a case of let's celebrate one of the eras that made the show most popular, so we can celebrate when everyone was watching Doctor Who and bring people back. Fair enough. Is it the best celebration of 60 years? Absolutely not. It definitely wasn't, but they were still amazing, the specials, and I absolutely loved them. Just my personal opinion. But yeah, I mean, it also raises an argument not to be that guy as a big 13 fan. It raises the point you say, oh, you could have developed the family. I mean, Chibnall had 3 seasons to do that and he barely did it. So, you know, maybe that's more of a fault with Chibnall for not developing the family enough. Because right now, I don't know if I would have liked a bit more with them beforehand. And maybe I'd have been like, yeah. Because Sylvia popped up a lot with Catherine. Yeah, she had quite a few episodes where she showed up and had little one-liners and things. Whereas, I mean, there was Yaz's dad's terrible Picori, is that how you say it? I mean, that's the only thing I really remember.
So, tuna with dress.
Yeah, tuna with dress was much better. Sorry, yeah, I'm sorry. That's just... I see you, baby. Tuna with dress. But yeah, so we got good points already. But it brings me to my first question, Crispy, for you.
Yes,
Regarding David Tennant's portrayal of the 14th Doctor. Because there was a bit of a will-they-won't-they debate as the 60th specials were building up in hype anticipation as to whether David would play 14 the same as 10, slightly different, and Russell and David swore tooth and nail that nothing had changed, that Russell had written the Doctor the same way and that David had played the Doctor the same way. Do you feel that he was similar to 10, or do you think he was different? What are your opinions on that?
That's a very, very interesting question, Troy.
Thank
and
you.
I'm glad you threw it my way, because... So did Russell actually say that he was writing it like 10? I don't remember.
There was
that.
A clip on the One Show where both of them were on the sofa at the same time, and I seem to remember both of them being like, I've not done anything different. Did you do anything different? No, I've not done anything different.
Interesting. Okay.
I believe, well, anyway, if someone can correct me, feel free, but I'm pretty sure they both said it. David said it multiple times, but I think Russell said it at the same time when he was on the show with him.
Okay. Because I think that 14 definitely feels... Well, the common theme, I suppose, is that it feels more mature. It feels like a Doctor that's been through more. So perhaps it's not written differently from 10. Maybe this is just what 10 would have been like if we had David Tennant for the past 15 years. Maybe that's just...
oh,
maybe,
mate,
that's
don't
just
get me
what
excited.
It was. Maybe that's just... Well, that's just might be what it is. You know, we say that, oh, it's, you know, it's a slightly different... Maybe it just feels like a continuation of 10's character rather than a whole new character himself. Because it's still, like... I don't know. I throw it back at you, Troy. I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around exactly what the difference is between 10 and 14. What do you think?
So, for one thing, 14 is more emotional. Like, I remember him catching him up on himself when he was talking to Shirley in the Star Beast, being like, you know, Donna's amazing, absolutely love her. Oh, do I say things like that now? Like, 10 never quite was that open about that, and that felt very 13 and, like, the affection
very much 13.
Kind of thing. But there's only a few moments that I suppose you can pick out as very unique 14 moments. Like, I mean, his speech in the Gale where he's like, you know, hating yourselves, you never had any trouble with that. I can imagine 10 saying that. I don't think that's new for 14. If you want to go there, you could say it's maybe influenced by 12's war speech a little bit, but I feel like you're grasping at straws if you say that. That might just be by convenience. But I think you make a good point. I wonder if 14 feels different because of circumstance rather than performance. Because of what came before is what sets him apart. Because, yeah, like, the moments with the time... Like, again, I think my favourite 14 moment in everything is in Wild Blue Yonder, that scene with the not Donna and her talking about the flux and all that stuff, and him having the full breakdown both before and after shoot, like, blows her cover, him beating up the wall and everything. That is one of the best bits of Doctor Who I've seen David Tennant ever do. Like, that performance is fantastic. But you make a good point. Had that been the circumstance when he was 10... Would you have had the same performance? Maybe. We might have done. Who knows?
I guess we'll never know. We'll never know, Troy. But, unless
but
there's
this
some
plays into,
alternate reality.
This plays into why I really like 14 and why 14 might be my new personal fave. I've always fought, like, especially over the last 5 or 6 years between 10 and 12. They're the two that, like, stand out the most to me. And even that feels like an insult because I love 13, I love 11, I love 9. Like, really, they're, like, we're talking, like, 95 to 100% here for all of them. Like, or, like, in the 90s or something. Like, everyone's super high. But for me, in my head, it's always been between 10 and 12. Granted, the David Tennant cake thing has probably helped nudge it up a little bit for 10. But I'm not going to lie to you. Of course, it would. If you had that happen to you, you'd be the same. Like, let's be real here.
Yes.
But realistically, when I actually really think about it, I have a more intense love for Capaldi in the last few years because of rewatching his stuff. But objectively speaking, not to go with the crowd, I do think David Tennant had everything. He had the peak package. He had the best writing. His Doctor performances were absolutely standout. He had some fantastic companions and cycled through quite a few. I think that helps too. Capaldi was amazing, but he had Clara for 2/3 of his runtime. I think a Doctor does work better sometimes when you mix up who they're with. And I think that's why 14 doesn't suffer, because it is the same actor. So you're not like suddenly feeling, oh, they don't really have much chance to evolve. It's a different situation because the same actor came back. But for me, seeing David, who I already kind of decided in my head was the peak Doctor, to come back, but then also be, as you said, more mature to reflect on previous things that have happened in past seasons. And also just David as a more veteran actor, having done a lot since he left Doctor Who, it felt like the perfect moment for him to come back and give a proper, like, barn... What's the phrase? Not blood, I was going to say barn burner, but that's not it. That's more for, like, long... Well, it kind of is, but just to really push on every level how good he was as a Doctor combined with everything he's done over the last 15 years. And the performances, I think, were absolutely fantastic. And it's a Doctor that I think I would love to see more of, absolutely, because I feel like he is at least a little bit more unique because of what came before. I feel like I'm rambling here, but
no,
do you see what I'm trying to say?
I was gonna compliment you on how well you put all that. Yeah, wow. Gosh.
Oh man, you know, it's just I don't know what I can blame that on. Can I say days of playing Baldur's Gate 3? How does that improve my speaking?
No. You can't blame it on that. Unfortunately,
I blame anything on that. It's corrupted my life, mate. I've been playing it for 2 months and haven't stopped.
All right. Well, that was beautiful, Troy. That was a beautiful point. Do you want to hear another beautiful point from a beautiful person?
Let's do. Oh, even a beautiful. He's being really nice.
All our callers are beautiful and lovely and fantastic.
Apart from the Beast Boss. No, I'm joking. Who've we got? You pick one.
Okay. Let's listen to Lockie. Hello, Lockie.
What have you got?
Man, say what you want about the 60th anniversary specials. Like, I've seen a million different takes on it, but David hit it at the ballpark. Like, he stepped straight back into the role and brought us something new. It's like the 10th Doctor had this sort of microcosmic regeneration of his own, and he's different. He's experienced, like, the loss of Amy and Rory, of Clara, of Bill, of all these companions along the way since Donna. And it's, at the same time, it's like no time has passed. It's really something quite cool, and I think only David could pull it off.
Ooh.
Oh.
Oh.
Do you agree that only David could have pulled it off?
Oh. In regards to being the only actor that could have come back as a Doctor for the 60th anniversary specials, Troy?
Yeah, that and, like, just how, like, having a Doctor that's more evolved and is based off what's come before as well.
No, I don't think it could have just been David Tennant. I think David Tennant was the right choice, maybe?
I agree. Who would be the next person that you would say? Because I have a name in mind and I want to see if we line up.
You want to say it at the same time? We won't be able to because of the lag.
This is not
going to
work
try.
On the internet, but we'll try. Should we do, like, 3, 2, 1, go?
Yeah.
All right, I'll count it down and then hopefully it'll line up. 3, 2, 1, go. Matt Smith.
Paul McGann.
Oh, wow.
Could have been interesting.
I'd still want to see more of Paul McGann. I'm just hoping that he does get a spin-off. We'll see if that happens.
Yeah. I just don't think he would have been as marketable. Matt Smith would have been way more marketable than Paul McGann, unfortunately.
I mean, Matt Smith's like, I'll come back, but as the Master. So we clearly would like to do something different if he comes back, do something stand out.
Yeah.
You know? So I would be... I think Matt Smith could pull it off. I do. I actually, weirdly enough, as much as I love Capaldi, I don't know if he could. I think he was such a powerhouse just as it was that I don't know if I could see him deliver a different performance as the Doctor. I think how he did it was just, I don't know. I don't know if I touched that. Which is a weird thing to say because I prefer David more, but, like, you know?
Well,
I don't know.
Capaldi is, like, a goat for you and I.
Exactly.
Like, he is just absolutely... But I think part of the reason we liked Capaldi is because maybe he was... I'm speaking for you here, as I tend to do.
How dare you vagabond.
He felt more grounded, you know? The whole am I a good man thing almost feels like a thing that 14 would say in the 60th. You know, 12 was kind of questioning their identity, questioning who they are.
And I think that's a similar theme in 14's run. So maybe that's why I feel like, yeah, we might be treading similar ground if Capaldi came back and was the one. But for 10, he definitely had that ego, and, you know, all the events that have happened since 10 have been quite traumatic for him. And with 12, you know, after 12, the Doctor didn't lose any companions to death, really. So...
yeah, plus potato, apparently potato. 12's heaven sent life all counts for the Doctor, because I think I said this before, when he notes in the giggle, he's like, Don, I'm over a billion years old. It's like, you were 2000 when you started as the 12th Doctor, and I don't think we had Jodie for that long, so...
Who knows? Yeah.
The Doctor's age, I think I might just be him, like, just being very loose about it, as if to be like, I'm not going to touch this, it's not worth it anymore. Because well, heaven sent really confused it.
Well, no, I think it might be the timeless child thing. He might be like, I've got no idea.
Oh, of course. Do you know what's funny? Every time this has come up in my head, I've had that exact argument. You just finished it for me this time, where normally my own brain does. I go, this doesn't make any sense. Are they counting Heaven Sent? Well, no, because Heaven Sent was 4.5 billion years, not 1 billion. Maybe he's just being general. Oh, it's the timeless child. And then it stops my brain. Every time that happens in sequence, and you just cut me off there. So thank you for saving my brain from having to reach that point again.
That's okay.
But yeah, well, that, even more in that case then, you know, like the whole how old's the Doctor thing, you can't even answer. I mean, Jodie was loose about it, which is like, I've lived for thousands of years, and then the timeless child came along, yeah, as you say, so who knows? My brain hurts, Crispy.
So does mine. But you know what? That's what the price we pay with this show. Absolutely. It's just constantly...
I have a question for you, Crispy.
Oh, gosh, yeah?
I have a question for you.
Yeah?
Do you think 14 is better than 10?
Oh gosh!
Just blunt, lay it on. I'm laying it on. I've said it, but have you? Well, how do you feel?
Well, I think we have touched on this before, so I'll give my answer from back then, where I think that 10 is more iconic, and 14 is better, because I think that
you're gonna upset Mr. 10th Doctor that's looking at the camera right now. You're gonna upset
Mr. 10th Doctor. I said you're iconic. I said you're going to be on all the branding, on anything. If anyone mentions Doctor Who, that's the David Tennant they imagine, rather than the one we had for 3 Disney Plus specials last year.
Okay. Here's the even better opinion. Here's the even better one then. Oh, I already agree. Yeah, 14's better. But here's another one. Who's got the better outfit, 10 or 14?
Oh, 14, faux show.
Hands down. 10 had great outfits, like blue and brown suit, both amazing, and obviously as iconic as they are, like suit and Converse. Like, I don't think he started that. I think people have gone back and seen as far as, like, Paul McCartney was doing that in, like, the 60s, 70s. But, or was it? No, more in the 60s, 70s. It was more recent than that. But I know Paul McCartney was doing it before David Tennant. That's thanks to Clever Dick Films, his little documentary. He's pointed little. Length is not little. But no, he pointed that out, and I think it was also in some comments in his videos. But I would argue that he popularised it in a way that previous people hadn't. So, like, you know, an outfit that gets everyone talking and everyone sees it and thinks, oh, that's a bit Doctor Who, that. Like, that carries a level of... what's the word? Like, if you say icon... like, iconicity? Is that the right word? I don't know. I'm trying to be fancy here, Crispy.
Icontasticky.
I love that. We'll go with that. We'll go with that. However, I don't know if it's the pattern or also just the vibe that it's almost like a rug pull where it's like, what's underneath the coat? Oh, he's got another jacket. No, it's a waistcoat. Like, there's something really funny about that. But I think just the outfit generally without the coat... because I like the coat, but I think I prefer it without. Just the shirt, the waistcoat with one button done up is just amazing. I do like the coat. But I think I like it without more.
I actually kind of like that about 10's outfit, too.
10's coat is iconic, but I also like it without.
I think we might just like the idea of them being without a coat, because I remember being like watching Journey to the Center of the TARDIS and being like, gosh, that is Matt Smith's best look. That's the best Doctor without a coat look,
that one.
It is good, but I think I love Matt Smith's 7B coat. We could have a whole episode on coats. Just talking
that
about
that was
coats.
My idea, Crispy. Oh my gosh. Before the episode, I said there was an idea I had that was really good and I'd forgotten it. I've just remembered it was best Doctor costume, and we're going to use that now in the next couple of weeks. So there you go. So if anyone does that after this episode goes out before ours does, you're copying us. I will sue you. I will take you to court. So there you go, Crispy.
Court.
In fact, I think I might set that as the next call-in topic right after this episode, because I was going to change it. So there you go. There you go.
Let's come back there to you go.
Look, it all works out. It's poetry.
It all
poetry.
Works out. In the, yeah, beautiful. Beautiful.
But you know
yeah,
what doesn't
like
work
that.
Out?
What?
Our callers, because they're going to be sad we haven't played enough of them. Play another oh. message, Crispy.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Jonah, hello. Oh, this is, yeah, Artie's own. Hello.
Oh.
Hello again, Troy and Crispy. I'm from Devon, but I'm at university
in Cornwall.
Oh,
hang on. That's for the wrong week. But it was so nice to hear where you were from, Artie Zone. Thank you so much.
You're going to leave that in there, aren't you? Shout out Artie Zone over
shout
in
out,
Devon.
Shout out Artie
Zone.
You are fantastic. Okay, who have we not played? Jeremy Duncan, have we heard from Jeremy?
We haven't heard from Jeremy Duncan. What have we got?
Okay, Jeremy. Hello. How are you?
Hello, Troy. Hello, Crispy. So this is just a thought about the 14th Doctor and the 10th Doctor and Donna Noble.
That's a
so,
lot.
In The Runaway Bride, Donna says travel with someone because I think you need someone to stop you. And, you know, back then we thought that was only talking about holding the Doctor accountable. But it also has a double meaning, as shown in the 60th anniversary, that he also needs somebody to just stop him so he can slow down and process his life. And Donna fits the bill both times. For the 10th incarnation and the 14th incarnation, he just needed someone to stop him.
Oh.
Did Bro well. Write a script? Because that is one of the most well-conveyed points I've ever heard. That was fantastic.
Oh, I think... Well, Troy, it's been fun, but I think Jeremy's going to take over the podcast now.
Yeah, Jeremy's going to do better than either of us can. That's astonishing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Great yeah, point.
Okay.
No notes.
Yeah.
Just really well put. I love when
I love
people
Rusty
think
Davies,
about the
I love
show.
Catherine Tate. There we go.
yeah. Wow. Okay, Jeremy.
And it's not just her own lines that she referenced, if you remember, in The Giggle. She also references Rose Tyler. Like, without knowing, that's a Rusty Davies nod. But, you know, the one adventure you've never had, she says to 14 about living a life day after day, which is an exact mirror of what 10 says to Rose on the beach in Doomsday. He goes, you can live your life out day after day, the one adventure I could never have.
Oh, my gosh.
Which is like, once I spotted that, or I think someone said on Twitter, once I'd seen that reference, I went, that's the best tie in the 60th, hands down. I was like, that's so well done. It's so, so well done. I love that. So, yeah, Donna references her own lines. She references Rose Tyler lines. Maybe Donna is at the center of the universe. Maybe it really is all about Donna. And you know what? I'd have no complaints.
Donna who?
Donna who? You know, yeah. Forget having Clara in the intro with her. I put Donna in the intro. Donna who?
Donna
I mean,
who?
It rolls off the tongue. It rolls off the tongue. That amazing.
Wow, Jeremy, fantastic job. Thank you for calling in with that. My goodness. Let's hear from Julia, shall we?
Let's hear from Julia. I was looking at her as well. I was looking through the list of names, like, who haven't we seen? So we're on the same point. So, Julia, you better impress us now. We both picked you.
Here we go.
Let's see what you got. Come on.
Julia!
Hi, Julia here. I'm from the northeast of England. And I would like to say I was very disappointed. I thought that David Tennant would do something different with his role. But I felt it was basically the 10th Doctor, but more emotionally mature, and I feel he should have done something different. It just didn't feel too different to call him the 14th Doctor, you know what I mean?
Ooh.
Okay, like the meme goes, you had us in the first half. The first half seemed much more drastic, but your points in the second half, I'm like, yeah, you're right. Like, that's fair.
You are fair. Completely correct. Because, Troy, I think we have forgotten about, like, this is a separate incarnation of the Doctor. This is another Doctor. Mm-hmm. I think it probably, mm-hmm. like this, the point that Julia has made probably wouldn't have existed if it was a degeneration as we originally theorized. I think we'd be like, oh yeah, it's just 10 again. That's cool. But now this is like a separate incarnation of the Doctor, as one of our callers brought up earlier on all the merchandise.
About two
David Tennants on merchandise, which is just a little
I'd
bit clunky
David
and
Tennants
weird.
On the merch, I wouldn't care, but
yeah, interesting.
Yeah, intriguing. I wonder. I mean, as you say, he is more emotionally aware, and as we've debated on this episode, it might just be more about circumstance than performance. I wonder in some ways, they kind of said the same thing when they were interviewed, you know, it's like, you know, you bring someone back, you don't want them to play it completely differently, you want them to be reminiscent of why you love them. So in a lot of ways, I can't really imagine him doing anything dramatically different, but not in the same way that I said for Capaldi. Like for Capaldi, he just, like, he stands on his own. Like, I think his performance is just like, I don't think you could touch that. But I don't know, for David, I just don't know if I could see him playing it. I'm saying the same thing I did for Capaldi and trying to differentiate it. I don't know if I can imagine it. I don't know if I can imagine it.
What if he had a Scottish accent? What if he was the Valiard? What if
so you're
he...
saying a whole 6th anniversary of him speaking like he did in half of Tooth and Claw? Are we in Scotland?
Are we in Scotland?
Oh, what? I'm dazed and confused. I was chasing wee lass over hill and over dale. Like, that wasn't actually... I've done worse Scottish accents. That wasn't awful. It was bad, but it wasn't awful.
I think I love her. Do I say things like that now?
Oh my gosh. Oh no. Could you pull? I can't say that with a Scottish accent.
Could you please pull?
It doesn't work. I know these teeth.
I know
this bum. Shout out
reference. I know this bum.
Anyone remember that reference? If you remember that reference, you're an OG. You're an OG.
Gosh,
classic Who's There moment right there.
I just want to do the whole 60th script, but in a really bad Scottish accent. That's so funny.
The Star Beast. You got two hearts. Oh, so have I.
So
that was Irish.
It's the Irish doctor. It resonates concrete.
You got two hearts. Oh, so do I. So I do. Oh, my gosh. Right, we need to stop. The accents are getting terrible. We need to stop. Right, have we got any more callers, Crispy? Wrap us up. Pick one more.
Okay. Oh, gosh. That is a lot of pressure for me. All right, we have the menu situation.
Know what? I mentioned OGs. Minusich is our OG. I mentioned it a few times.
Here we
go.
Lay
him on us. What's he got to say?
Hello!
I would have preferred if he was a named incarnation of the Doctor rather than a numbered one. More like the War and Fugitive Doctors, just because we have so little time with him.
Oh.
I liked they didn't hide that David was older, and it linked to the story with him being a tired incarnation of the Doctor who was running on fumes. I definitely don't think he should get a spin-off, because I think it defeats the point of this Doctor resting, although I wouldn't mind seeing him back every once in a while in the main show. I just don't think it'll happen because David said that story's over, which I am also fine with because I quite liked his ending.
Wow. That's an interesting point.
We will discuss in next week's live episode on Thursday at 11 a.m. UK time at the YouTube channel, youtube.com/@whostherewu. But yeah, David did say, like, the article was published and then kind of like certain quotes were run with. David did say it felt like the end of the story in the 60th, but he did also in the same like sentence, the same paragraph, go, "It's Doctor Who. It's no different before than it was now. If they want you back, they'll write you back." So he, like, just because he's saying he feels like it's the end of a story, I mean, 10's Doctor was the end of a story. He still came back as 14, so I don't really hold any merit to those words in the same way. However, I should clarify, when I say I want a 14 spin-off, I don't imagine it being something that undoes the giggle, where he's, like, off travelling through time and space. I would expect something Earth-based, a bit like the Third Doctor, where, like, he is trying to live his life, but sometimes something's going to happen where he has to step in, you know, and help UNIT or something like that. I'm not expecting some big, grand, time-hopping adventure.
It's not gonna happen.
You were convinced it's not, but we'll see. I mean, have you heard the recent rumours that he apparently is gonna possibly pop up in the finale of season 1? We've got a lot to talk about next week, but do you think he's going to?
No. Gosh, no.
Telling you right now, Crispy, I'm telling you right now, and we can refer back to this whenever the finale is, in what, June? Depends on when it comes out, might be June, might be July. But I'm gonna call it right now. If David Tennant appears in that finale, they're gonna set up a spin-off for him. I'm telling you right now, and I want you to refer back to this because I will feel like an absolute bloody genius when it happens, because they will set it up. Because I said to you, with Chest, if they were going to do a 14 spin-off, it would not be until at least one season of Shooty had been established, but it would be a great thing to pad the time between Shooty and his first season, his next season. So
it's
going to
be UNIT.
What if we're talking about the same thing?
What if this UNIT spin-off is going to be
David Tennant-centric in there?
It's not... It's...
Because
Kate
UNIT
Stewart.
Is based on Earth. 14
it's
is based on
Stewart.
Earth.
It doesn't make sense for David Tennant's career trajectory.
I don't see them giving Kate Stewart a lead in the UNIT show.
I do.
I don't know if it's enough pull for Doctor Who fans in some ways, and I say it with all the love in the world to Gemma Redgrave, but also, more just as a character for Kate, as we've argued in the last 10 years, she's not had much to do. And that's part of that reason where you think, oh, do you really care about her getting her own thing? She's not really had that much interest. For some people, they will. For some people, they won't.
It's got to pop off. It's got to, like, whoever, like, Russell will be in charge of this, and he's going to give Kate more character in one episode than she has had in the past 10 years on this program, no matter what happens, okay? But, yes, I agree, it's a hard sell. It's a hard sell.
I don't think right now, with Disney backing them, they want anything in Doctor Who that's a hard sell.
Oh.
I don't. I just don't. Oh. I'm to be real with you. I don't think so.
Well...
just cards on the table. Literal cards on the table. I don't think so.
David Tennant, is not, David Tennant is not always a solution, Disney. It's just not.
He's not, but however, he is always a solution.
Okay, fine. Agree to disagree.
We will debate more of this in next week's episode, which will go out as normal on audio platforms on a Tuesday morning. However, it's going to be quite early on the platform. By the time you're listening to this and it comes out, it'll be in 2 days' time. So make sure you check out live where we will discuss all these news articles. We're trying to try and fish through and remember everything, but we do encourage you guys to let us know if there's any articles that you want us to talk about, any news bits in particular. For all of 2024, we didn't do a live episode in January because we were coming back and rebooting, but it's going to be monthly from here on out. If there's anything you want to hear us talk about, get in the Discord or at us on Twitter, Instagram, or YouTube comment section. Throw some news topics at us. If you've got a list, throw us a list. Make our lives easy. Please do. I'd certainly love to kick my feet up and be like, oh, don't have to research it. Our fans did it for us. But the point is, we're going to debate all this news next week. It'll be a big news roundup, and we'll get our thoughts on everything. And we'll have some hotline callers, but they'll all be Patreon exclusive this one time. In the live episode,
it's going to be fun.
The hotline calls are Patreon exclusive. So check out the Patreon as well, patreon.com/usedw. That's enough promotion from me. And I think that wraps up this week's episode, Crispy. So, to answer the question, is 14 the best Doctor?
That's my
Thank you very much for listening. We will see you all next week where we talk about the hottest Doctor Who news in January and February 2024. Until then, it's goodbye from Crispy.
Bye.
And it's goodbye from me as well. We'll see you all next week. Alonzi, baby.
Alonzi, baby.